I'm your Echo.
I'm so upset at us.
I'm not.
All right. I'm so proud of us. We're here. We're queer. Mm. We're doing it.
We did it. As in started.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I'm so excited to be recording again. Look at us. We're so good at things. Today, I have a story to tell. Not really a story. I have a topic to divulge information regarding.
Okay.
Okay. Let's set the mood. All right. Am an undercover spy.
Okay.
In 1950s Russia.
Okay.
You are an American diplomat. And you don't know anything.
No.
About nuclear radiation.
Stop. I don't know anything at all. Okay.
So I saunter over. Okay. And I give the code.
Oh,
word.
My.
Pumpernickel.
Okay.
And you, knowing the code word, you respond, Alice and Mars.
Talking about bread. I'm like, rye.
Alice and Mars Baker. I didn't even do that on purpose.
Oh, I thought you did.
No. I just made up a name and it happened to be Baker. And then I retroactively connected out my
puns are just like a part of you as a person.
Honestly, they just happen on their own.
It's really painful for me.
Anyway, so now that I've gotten the
okay,
word,
you've built a world.
Yes.
Okay.
We know that we're the people we're supposed to be finding.
Yes.
And so
we found each other.
We're at this Russian bar.
Okay.
I'm assuming we're in Moscow because I don't know any other Russian city. Okay.
And Russia's huge. Okay.
We're in the one city in Russia, Moscow.
That everyone knows. Yes.
And I start like this. I was trying to accent, but it's not going to happen.
Oh, Jacob.
It's not going to happen. Not in this climate. Because it's cold, because Russia.
Yes.
And my throat would just be frozen.
Mm-hmm. That's why they sound like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What do you know about nuclear radiation?
I know it does crazy shit to people and makes them all gross.
Damn.
And
shots fired. At victims.
And, I look at victims, I'm like, ew. I think of like Chernobyl.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, that's it. Gross right, things like it. That's and it. Chernobyl.
Gross things okay. And Chernobyl. That's basically 90% of
yeah. I was like common.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's start with like a simplified overview of nuclear radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually let's start with radiation, period. I'll give you a quick overview of like what it is, and then we'll delve into what's the difference between the different kinds.
Okay.
All right. So radiation is an emission of energy such as electromagnetic or nuclear. So electromagnetic radiation includes things like radio waves and x-rays. So things like Bluetooth, Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm.
radio, all of those are a type of radiation, but it's not nuclear radiation. It's basically
oh.
just the energy, like a ray of light, right? So this powers a lot of like the things that we see every day, literally seeing
microwaves,
like microwaves, etc. But nuclear radiation can definitely be more kind of sinister than an electromagnetic radiation, even though there are definitely forms of electromagnetic radiation that can be harmful.
Like for like therapy and stuff.
Exactly.
Chemotherapy.
So nuclear radiation, as opposed to like just being energy, is the emission of subatomic particles from the nucleus of atoms. So you can picture atoms as like containing like a central nucleus consisting of protons and neutrons. We're going back to high school for this one.
All right. Yeah, okay. I see it. I see my textbook.
Yes, yes.
View in front of
in
me.
Your brain. Good. Perfect.
Uh-huh.
Mabel, please. I don't want to have to shout you out every episode for bad behavior.
Where should I put this?
Yeah, that's perfect. Gatekeep it.
The sound of cookies. Okay.
So protons push out against each other because of they have a positive charge. You can think of like magnets.
Magnets. Okay. Right? Okay.
While neutrons have a neutral charge.
Is that why they call it that?
Yes.
Sorry.
No, yeah, I'm, yes. That plus one.
Yay! I was so good at school.
So atoms have a strong nuclear force that counteracts the protons and keeps them, like the nucleus, kind of bound together.
Okay.
When an unstable or radioactive isotope expels these subatomic particles in order to like maintain that fragile stability. Because if you get too much pushing out, then it's not going to be stable. So that's why the more protons, the more nucleus, or the more neutrons you have in your nucleus, the less stable it is. That's why the heavier ones decay so much faster and tend to be more radioactive, because they're pushing more out in order to try to find that stability.
Ooh, okay.
And if you look at like, like the periodic table, you can see kind of where that breaks up. And that's the reason why like there's that bar at the bottom of like the super dangerous shit that like
decays
really fast, is because they're too heavy. And so they don't have that stability that like a normal atom that we can look around and see things made of. So that's not to say like, I mean, that's like, it's not to say that you can't have a radioactive hydrogen or like some smaller thing. It's just going to be less common and less deadly because it's going to be firing off less shit.
Basically. Ah, okay.
So
I just keep on thinking about bombs.
Exactly. So that's why like those, that's why the bombs tend to be like plutonium or uranium. Like these are large things because they have so much energy packed into them that they're trying to get rid of.
Okay, okay. So it's like condensing that energy to use it for like physical explosions. Exactly. Okay.
So the like an example of like a less harmful, smaller, like radioactive would be like hydrogen. So hydrogen 3, which is tritium, is one proton and two neutrons, whereas like a regular hydrogen would have only one of each, or would have, could have zero neutrons but have one proton.
Okay.
So because it has that extra neutron, it's trying to get rid of it. And so that makes it...
Does it make it dangerous?
It doesn't. So it actually doesn't. Because it's smaller. So basically, if it's releasing just a neutron, I keep trying to say nucleus.
It's like pew.
If it's trying to release just like a single neutron, so it's a beta... It's a beta emission.
Beta male. Yeah,
it's a beta cuck. Okay. It's a beta cuck nucleus.
Can you imagine like listening to a professor in a college and he just goes down that road? It's a
beta cuck hydrogen.
I'm like, I'm going to ace this class.
So tritium as our example, that initial the additional neutron that it's trying to like get rid of, it's very rare to find that in nature because generally hydrogen is like happy just having the one neutron, the one proton, and it's like aces. You'll find it mostly in like the atmosphere where like cosmic rays are like hitting gases in the atmosphere, and that's how you're getting like the natural form of tritium. But we actually use it like man-made versions of it because it has a half-life of about 12 years and it glows in the dark. So you'll see it on things like exit signs, those like smart, or those like watches that have like the like glowing numbers on the face.
Oh yeah. So instead of using the radium, they have this one. Okay. Use
plutonium to like,
my bones aren't going to wither away. Yes.
So you'll use something like that. And because it has a half-life of 12 years, it's going to last for a while.
12 years.
Not gonna be it's been more than 12 years. Do we know what a half-life is? Do you know how to calculate that?
That's a game.
Yes. So let's say your half-life is 5 years.
Okay.
That means half of what you have is going to be gone in 5 years. But that doesn't mean that it's gonna be 10 years for it to go away, because that's it's all about like halving. So it's kind of like, I wouldn't say exponential, but it's like, so basically it just means like half of what you have in your hand is going to be gone in 5 years.
Oh, that's okay. So it, yes, but not all of it. Only half. Not all. Exactly. Okay.
Hence half-life.
I know things.
Look at us.
Yep.
So that use of radioactivity is called radioluminescence. And it's generally in the case of like this hydrogen is not going to be harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But you can compare that to something like plutonium that is an alpha radiation, which is going to be a lot more deadly.
Okay.
And that's because an alpha radiation has, you know, like a pair, like two protons and two neutrons that it's shooting out. So there, it's going to be like a heavier, more dense thing being fired off of it. And generally, it's going to have more energy with it. So you're getting that like really high energy, really like dense material that's like ripping through whatever it's ripping through.
Oh, so that one's more dangerous.
So much more dangerous.
Okay.
So the good news is that the heavier and like the bigger something is, the kind of the easier it is to stop it. So you can have, you can compare something like something that you might only need like a lead vest when you're getting like x-rays at the dentist.
That's
going to be stopping an electromagnetic because it's just energy. You're going to want, you know, there's like different forms of it that depending on how fast it is, how big it is, how much energy it has, you might need to like bury it under concrete and water, you know, in the ground in order to stop it from like affecting people.
Ooh.
And so the different types of radiation cause biological effects, and this is called the quality factor or Q. So something like a beta or gamma ray may have a Q of one, which means they're not super dangerous. But something like plutonium might have, which is like an alpha particle, is going to have a Q factor of 20.
Okay, because so, it's really fucked up.
Exactly. So the higher numbers are absorbed, there is a higher amount of damage happening to your body. Radiation sickness affects the DNA. So it like literally goes into the cells and has like damages the cells from the inside.
Like just kills them.
It can. So there's actually multiple things that can happen.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you. So
yeah, I'm excited.
Let me start with like the kind of symptoms of radiation sickness, and then I'll explain how it happens. So radiation sickness affects the DNA. As the affected cells begin to split, the new copies kind of vary on and kind of like cancer. Like, you know, like cancer is basically just like
it just like mutates.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it can mutate your DNA itself. It can mutate how the cells act or like how they carry about their cell business.
Yes.
Or it can even, which I'll kind of touch a little bit more on later.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, it's called like an epigenetic like response where it, you might have a gene that isn't being switched on. Like it's not being utilized.
It's like a dormant one or something.
Exactly.
Okay.
But because of the epigenetic factors, like you could kind of switch something on that wasn't originally switched on.
So it's just going to drive all of your cells insane.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it, and so in some cases it would be, it's better if you have like a small dose of something, it might be better for it to just kill the cell than to mutate it and then send it, you know, duplicating across your body for years.
That's true. Cause when it's dead, it's dead. But if it's like creating something
basically
worse,
what chemotherapy is killing cancer cells. But if you have like a mutated cell and it's like dividing and becoming this like major, you know, part of your body that can have long-term lasting effects that cause cancer.
Yeah.
And other effects. All right. So the typical symptoms of radiation sickness begin with symptoms that are pretty common, like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and fever, because the radiation is affecting the gastrointestinal system first, because that's the system that splits the fastest.
Oh,
so basically it's like once it affects like whatever starts like multiplying, that's what's going to be like affecting in that. So basically like, the faster your cells turnover, the faster those effects that are on those cells are going to spread. So because cells are attempting to repair themselves, they can kind of, if they fail the effects of radiation, we'll get in, that's when like those other kind of issues happen. But there's always that chance that a cell will just like repair itself. So like a super low dose of something, you might be fine. So like how radiation can be categorized by like the size, the speed, the energy of what's being blasted off of that atom, the qualities can also affect how the body reacts. So like a large dose over the body will be more impactful than a dose that's just in like one part of your body. Okay. So that's kind of like why we do things like those lead vests when you're getting x-rays.
Okay.
Because it's preventing it from affecting parts of your body that you're not trying to use that technology for.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're obviously in the middle of a disaster, you're getting your entire body just is
taking it to the
exactly
body.
Then your entire body is getting mutated and
Hiroshima. Yeah.
Naturally, if like a large dose of alpha radiation kills off large swaths of your body, that's going to do more damage more quickly than like something like chemotherapy, which is like more targeted. And in small and in smaller doses, Mabel. There is some important kind of information needed to identify treatment for radiation sickness. This includes knowing the type of exposure as well as the distance, source, and duration of exposure.
That makes sense.
So you kind of, because you want to know kind of like what you're dealing with and how much of it you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So if you are exposed to something that's like a meter away, that's going to be a lot less harmful than something that you're like obviously holding in your hand.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So if for whatever reason you don't necessarily have that access, like maybe the person's unconscious or you just found them that way. Or like,
yeah. Just like on the battlefield.
Like,
yeah.
There are people who are poisoned with like isotopes, like radioactive isotopes. They're not going to know what dosage they were given.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so
I drank this much.
Right. I had 3 ounces of water.
3 ounces of radiation. Like
plutonium.
Yes. I need you to be specific or we can't cure you.
So in place of those like more like harder facts, mm-hmm. even just knowing the time between exposure and kind of referencing the signs of sickness and how quickly they came up,
mm-hmm.
that can kind of give you an idea of like how much radiation they got, or at least you can kind of, you know, defer that to like some,
yeah.
some knowledge.
Well, and for like most, you know, for most medical things, it's like it's gonna depend on the specific person to yeah right?
Like it is what it
is. Like oh, pre-existing conditions what have it is what it is. That's what my doctor says.
Another option to kind of like identify that is mm-hmm. a series of blood tests because that can help you kind of track like your drops in white blood cell levels or changes mm-hmm. in the DNA in the blood that happen over time. And then you can also use things like a Geiger counter. So a Geiger counter works by passing the radiation through a gas-filled tube with positive and negative electrodes. So the radiation causes like a pulse between them that can be measured and counted. So those pulses per second indicate the intensity of the radiation.
Okay.
So that's what that clicking noise that happens is the ion pairs being created as they enter the chamber.
Ooh, so that's such an iconic sound too.
Right?
Exactly. I like it. Like,
it's interesting to think about like how that works.
Yeah.
And like to like picture like being pelted with radiation and you're just standing there holding something that's
you're like
you're like this is probably
I like those like those guys that not specifically guys but those people that go to like places that are abandoned because of like yes. radiation.
Ghosts are known to carry at least 3 ounces of plutonium in their pockets.
You say ghosts?
Yes.
Why? Why are you talking about ghosts?
That's who you're talking about, right? Haunted places?
No.
Oh. You said haunted places. What did you say?
No. Like, why are you bringing ghosts into this?
What did you say?
No, abandoned places.
Abandoned places can have ghosts?
Yeah, they can, but that's not why I brought that up.
So there's just random radiation. Mabel's like, get me out of here.
Is it so a town can be abandoned because of radioactive ghosts? That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
But also other things that are radioactive, such as not ghosts.
Yeah. Imagine Dragons.
Famously, Imagine Dragons is radioactive.
I have to like shut my brain off because every time you say that, it like comes out of my head. I'm just like, I can't. Just quietly sing it.
So
okay.
The treatment for radiation sickness, it starts with decontamination. So removing clothing actually eliminates about 90% of contamination because your clothing is like that first level of defense.
Oh, it can just stick to your clothes?
Yeah. Yeah. So like radiation, because like, I mean, that's kind of like why, like you look at like Chernobyl and why it's still so deadly is because that radioactivity makes other things radioactive and that contamination is on it.
Oh.
And it gets infused like the same way where it gets into our cells and it breaks down our cells.
Yeah.
It's getting into the cells of and atoms and all that.
It'll be like wood and stuff.
Exactly. Most part, other treatments tend to just be like replacing things that the radiation is destroying or giving it like necessary things that it needs to heal. So things like potassium or like, you know, whatever your body is currently being drained of. Things that are going to help it heal faster because you kind of is what it is. Like once your cells are dying, they're dying. Like they either repair themselves or they die.
Yeah.
Or they get mutated. But another form of treatment, depending on what it is that you come into contact with, you can have treatments that bind to radioactive elements if they're in your body. So like one example is called Prussian blue, which is a dye that binds to cesium and thallium. There's also DTPA, which binds to plutonium, americium, and curium. And it basically, because it's binding to those radioactive chemicals that are in your body, it's easier for it to like pass through the system because it's bound and like covered.
Okay.
So you're getting less interaction with.
Instead of it just being like everywhere, it's like sticking to that muscle.
Bound to that and passing.
Yeah.
Through.
So you can control more like where it goes. Okay.
That's really the only thing. And that's obviously like that's very specific things.
Yeah.
You have to know exactly what it was that you.
Oh, because one's going to. It's going to react differently. The one that actually is going to work. You have to know what it is. Okay.
And that's kind of like what the true like horror of radioactivity is, that you're being exposed to radiation and you're kind of powerless to it and its effects. Like it's just ripping through your body.
Yeah.
And the initial cell death from high levels of radiation can cause deadly burns and lesions. But as the cellular decay spreads, it can cause an amount of like unseen damage and permanently affect how our bodies work at like the cellular level.
Oof.
And so it made me think of that Falcon Lake incident episode from the Aliens episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where he kept getting those lesions like every couple of months. Yeah. And just kept coming back up. Because I remember we were talking.
Cancer.
I think we had talked about how we were like, well, how does it just keep coming up?
But yeah.
If it's some kind of radiation and your cells are mutated to like appear that way, then you could keep having that cell divide and spread.
It would just like heal itself. And then if there was enough of it, it would eventually come back.
Exactly. I mean,
that type of thing.
Right, your hair grows back whenever those cells like die, like your nails grow back when those skin cells die. Like,
so it's just like in a cycle
like waves,
of,
right.
Okay.
Like, I could see that happening.
Okay.
I'm not a scientist. Like, I'm not saying that is a form of like a common thing to happen to people with radioactivity, but a certain type of radioactive from a mysterious
aliens,
US or alien spaceship.
Mostly
alien. I could
alien.
See that happening.
Yeah.
The crazy thing about that one was like that it was like in the pattern of like the grill or whatever.
Oh,
that,
yeah, that's right.
I was like, I could see that too, because if it's the same thing where like your radiation,
there's some type of vehicle,
blocked, right? Like if you can block certain radiation with like a lead vest, then it makes sense. A lead grate could do the same thing.
You
know, so I'm like,
it's the pattern. I see.
The pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's not just our bodies, but any living thing that can suffer from radiation, and even inanimate objects can become long lasting sources of continued radiation.
You gotta loot that shit.
Yeah, loot it. It's a loot box of death. It's a deadly loot box.
Yes.
Leading to nuclear hotspots like Chernobyl that pose risk for decades. So not only do these areas continue to be dangerous, but genetic mutations can be seen in the wildlife that continue to live in those areas as those permanent changes to DNA are passed down through offspring.
Ah, okay.
So another effect that's been seen in wildlife is what I had mentioned a little bit earlier, was the epigenetic modification. And that's when the DNA sequence itself isn't necessarily changed, but those like chemical tags that act as switches are affected. So that leads to genes being expressed that would otherwise have remained dormant. So this effect can be seen in the hundreds of stray dogs found at Chernobyl. Those descendants continue to show higher rates of DNA instability and more frequent mutations compared to average dogs. However, as the strays continue to live in the hot zone, and they continue to be exposed to radioactive material, so scientists can't clearly state that it's from being passed down through generations. Mm-hmm. But
like, I was like, you could take a wild guess. The shit looks freaky. It's probably because where they are.
Exactly. Like, so you can definitely get like long-term offspring effects from radiation.
Yeah, because it affects the DNA and shit.
Mm-hmm. People talk about like trauma being passed down like through genetics. Like,
yeah.
Same thing, like, yep. it's an epigenetic response to what is affecting our genes. Like, the mental genes aren't radiation. Changing, but how we react to those genes is being affected.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you guys want to hear more about, like, other nuclear stuff, let me know. I think there's a lot more, like, I liked having, like, the kind of overview of it, because I do think it's, like, really interesting, like, how it works. But there's so many different stories about, like, I mean, Chernobyl, obviously, is a big one.
Yeah. Is that one?
Marie Curie's entire life. You just wait 2 minutes.
That, okay? I forgot his name, but there's this one guy that like lasted like a month after being exposed to high radiation.
Damn.
And all the stuff that happened to him and his family, like desperately tried to keep him alive. And he's like, please no.
Please just let me die.
Please let me die.
That's so crazy.
But he lasted a really long time. I feel bad. I forgot his name.
Valid. Well, we'll have to do a nuclear 2.
Yes.
We can dive into
those,
like,
specific stories. Specific now stories, that we know what it is. Ooh, yes. I like this.
Yeah.
Little radioactive miniseries, right, Mabel?
We're doing our little book club.
Yes.
So what did we want to do? Do we want to do every month or every other month? It's like 6 books a year or 12 books a year. What's what do we want to do?
I don't know. Maybe a book a month.
Okay. Yes. Now that I'm out of school and can actually read for fun, that'll be exciting.
I'm going to listen to the audiobook because I like doing that.
Yeah. So if any of you out there in the interwebs want to join us, we're doing a little book club. We've given up on finding names for things. So Dead Simple Book Club it is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start next month with At Night All Blood is Black. And then we'll figure out what our next book is. So I think that is a great intention for the week.
Nice. I did it.
You have the next episode.
I do.
You want to give like a little preview? What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about teratomas.
Nice. So kind of similar with.
Yeah, it's going to go along with a lot of what you said. So
mine can cause what you're talking about.
Yes. Yes.
So that is exciting. And I think we'll get a lot more of the like body horror vibes out of yours.
Yes, we'll get some.
And you know, I like yours because I just bullshit for the entire episode. It's so much nicer for me.
And you get to sit back and relax while I tell you a tale.
Yeah. Awesome. All right.
Great.
Well, we will do that later. And goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.